You're welcome back to the Shona Project Podcast. I'm Allison Curtis, and with me always is Tammy.
Here we go again.
I know, this was a good one though, Tammy. You suggested this a few weeks ago that we tackle this, and we're going to ask Mary from Two Into You to join us in a few moments' time because she is excellent on this. But it got me thinking about healthy relationships and statistics around abuse and unhealthy relationships, and it's really shocking how high it is. And then I don't know about you, Tammy, but when I have conversations with close friends, we always start off with going, I feel like really lucky that nothing happened to me. And we shouldn't feel lucky. It should just be the way it is. And I was speaking with someone recently at work, and we were talking about previous relationships. And I was like, you know, I've had really nice boyfriends. Like, you know, my husband is the nicest man on the planet, and I've been really fortunate. And she said something that really stuck with me, and I've repeated it in my head a few times, because again, it puts the assumption on that it's the individual that's receiving and the receiving end of abusive behaviors, that's their responsibility. But she said, you really strike me as someone who would not put up with anything. And that again, she meant it as a compliment, but it did actually mean that it's seen as our responsibility to not get into those situations.
Yeah, it's a tough one. Like, first of all, when it comes to our kids and getting into relationships, there's a lot of topics we need to cover about this, right? We need to talk to, we need to find out how to empower them in their sexuality and in their, how they express themselves. And we also need to talk about how we figure out those boundaries and kind of rules as to like when they start dating and when we're comfortable with them, you know, when the door needs to be left open, when it doesn't, when, you know, eventually down the road you get to sleepovers. But like, it all comes down to me. I was looking back at my own relationships, and I was thinking about teenage relationships specifically. Mm-hmm. And the one thing that I remember about all of my teenage relationships was when somebody took an interest in me and I was going out with them, I was always really, really concerned with making them happy and keeping them happy and making them like want to stay with me and never break up with me. Never really thought about, is this relationship making me happy? And if it's not, what am I doing wrong and how can I fix it? And what do I need to change in myself to keep this relationship going? Because, you know, our teenage relationships, they're literally the entire world to us.
But
right?
Also, it's this concept that we were taught that when a relationship ends, it's a failure, as opposed to having an exit strategy, so to speak, and a way of looking at it as it was a life experience. It naturally, teenage relationships, very few survive for life. And those ones are romanticized when they do, of course, as well. But to try and go, well, it's not and not a failure. And sometimes we're not even talking about extreme situations. We're talking about young people outgrowing each other. And we need to teach our kids that it's not considered a failure. It's like a life experience. It's a life phase. And you will come out of it the other side. And it's something that you just touched on there as well. Is I think it's really critical to talk to our daughters in particular about how you should never lose a sense of yourself and how all-consuming this relationship can be. It is actually not, it's not going to make or break you. You will survive when it finishes.
Yeah. So we've been working at the Shona Project with Two Into You for a long time. Mary Hayes runs the project there. I have rarely met a person with so much passion for the work that they do. Like, she's somebody who strikes me as you would do this for free. Although women say, please keep paying her. But like, she would do it for free. She wakes up, she lives and breathes this, and she's come across it so many times that she knows how important her work is. And the way that they frame it is so accessible. So it's made me look back at my own teenage relationships, my friends' relationships, my daughter's relationships, and just being like, okay, there is a line that's not okay. And, you know, it's down to what we're willing to accept and knowing this is not okay. So I need to walk away from this, or I need to stop it right now before it gets out of hand. And it's so nuanced, this whole conversation, right? So that's why it can be tricky for us to even address it, because I'm still kind of, there's still gray areas and things that I'm trying to figure out.
So your daughter is much older than mine. So you're going through this. And I'm, again, as always, being selfish and kind of going with this podcast, I'm writing down notes to keep in my back pocket for when Joan reaches that phase. But I do feel it's so essential to equip our daughters with an awareness and a knowledge and a language to be able to speak about situations that they feel aren't right for them, or to acknowledge that and have a pathway out of it through either talking to parents or friends. friends. And I know it goes back to what you do in the Shona Project all the time. It's about empowering them to have that control in their life. And you've spoken so highly of Mary. I think we should just get her on.
Yeah, let's talk to Mary. I'm going to try this again to introduce a person, which is a normal human thing to do that I've done a million times and I've had to do it 3 times. Hello, Mary Hayes.
Hi, Tammy.
It wasn't actually that hard, was it?
No.
It's always so good to see you because we at the Shona Project have such a great relationship with Women's Aid and Two Into You, and we have learned so much from you over the years. You haven't met Alison before. This is Alison.
Hello.
Hello. I know your voice, but it's very exciting to meet you.
Thank you.
Mary, you can start us off by just telling us what Two Into You is and what your role is and how it's connected to Women's Aid.
Yeah. So I suppose just to say first who Women's Aid are, in case people don't know. So Women's Aid is the National Domestic Violence Service in Ireland, and we operate the National Free Phone Helpline for anyone experiencing domestic abuse. Within Women's Aid then, we have the Two Into You campaign. So it's our campaign focused on young people aged 18 to 25, in particular young women. And the aim really with the campaign is to teach young people about the difference between healthy and unhealthy relationships, and also to teach them about the kind of red flags of intimate relationship abuse, so abuse that happens within the intimate relationships that they're having. And also to provide support for young people, because obviously there's Women's Aid supports there, but we wanted to create something specific for young people that was designed around the language that they use around dating, the particular experiences they have, things like that. So that's why we created this specific campaign with very tailored messaging towards young people.
Yeah, I think this is really important because in my head, if you spoke to me previous to getting to know you and what you do and your work and why it's so important, if you talk to me about relationship abuse or domestic abuse, I would have associated with, you know, a woman who's in the home who maybe doesn't have much independence, who feels like she can't get out, like she's trapped in a marriage because there's kids and mortgages and other things. But actually, since I've gotten to know you and learned so much about your work, so much of this stuff happens in early age relationships. So just give us like a background as to how often this stuff is happening and what's going on for young people.
Yeah. And it's, you know, even the term like domestic abuse on its own, like that will tell you why we don't, you know, use that term and why we have the campaign in itself. We don't use that term in the Two Into You campaign, because what does domestic mean? Domestic means in the home. And, you know, often when we think about this issue, you think about it happening to someone who's older, who's maybe living with an abusive partner. They're married, they might have kids, like you said, they might have a mortgage, you know, other financial responsibilities together. They might be together for a very long time. That's kind of the image that we all have in our heads when we think of domestic abuse. But from years, you know, supporting survivors in Women's Aid, we know that abuse can actually happen when you're young. It can even happen in your first relationship. So we've done research into this. We've done 2 nationally representative studies now, and we found that actually it's very common for young people. So in Ireland, 1 in 5 young women and 1 in 11 young men aged 18 to 25 will have experienced abuse by a current partner or ex-partner. And actually, for the majority of those girls, the abuse will start before they turn 18. So they would be considered minors there. And I suppose the ways as well that the abuse will happen can be quite different when you're young. You know, like, for example, emotional abuse is by far the most common form of abuse in young relationships. Online abuse is also incredibly common, whereas you might have things like, you know, financial abuse, coercive control later on. But young people also experience coercive control. 1 in 6 girls experienced it of those who were abused. So it's far more common than we think.
Okay.
And Mary, I suppose one of the things that, you know, to break it down, when you start dating somebody, you can often kind of feel like something is off or it isn't right or doesn't feel quite, But often the problem is, like, your gut could tell you this is uncomfortable for me. But often I think the problem is twofold, which is one is like finding the language to explain how you feel and identify how you feel, and then finding the pathway to talk to somebody about how you feel so they can help you even further. So can you talk to us about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, this stuff, it's not being taught in schools yet. We're hoping it will be included in the curriculum. There is some indications that it'll be coming into SPHE, which is brilliant. But, you know, that's one of our main aims with the campaign, is to empower young people with the information so that they can strive for healthy and happy relationships. Because I suppose the thing is, when you're in a relationship, when you're young, it can feel like it's your whole world. But if, unfortunately, it's unhealthy, or if there's control there, that can have a massive effect on a young person's future and their ambitions, their independence. You know, they might be finishing up school, deciding what to do in college, where they want to work, where they want to live, all this kind of stuff. And if you're in a controlling relationship, that can be a real, you know, that can just shut all of those options down. But the thing is, for young people, very often they might know what the difference between a healthy and an unhealthy relationship looks like, because we all kind of have these ideas of, you know, what quotes, air quotes, you know, really bad abuse looks like. You know, we go straight to like the bruise, the black eye, the mark, that kind of stuff. But actually, like I was saying, emotional abuse is by far more common. And from the young women that we've worked with and supported, they've said, and what the research says as well, is that the emotional abuse is really what sticks with them even after the relationship ends. It's what takes the biggest toll on them. You know, it can lead to anxiety, depression, post-traumatic stress disorder, suicidal ideation, suicidal attempts, you know. So there's lots of conversations in the country now about young people's mental health. Their intimate relationships absolutely have to be taken into account in those conversations as well. But I suppose that's what we're hoping to do with the campaign, is teach young people what healthy looks like, what unhealthy looks like, what they sound like, what they feel like, and give them real examples from people who've gone through this, you know, young people, in the language that makes sense to them.
Can I ask you, Mary, then, about, you know, I've seen my kids have various relationships over the years, you know, starting with, you know, oh, I think somebody likes me in like sixth class, the whole way up to, you know, now my oldest has like, you know, a partner that he lives with. And I've seen it all over the years. But as a parent, there's been times where I've seen, you know, I've heard from one of them that their partner said something hurtful, right? And I can tell it's a lack of maturity, right? That it's not straight up abuse. It's just a lack of maturity. And a lot of it might be, you know, something that they've seen people say online. Like, you know, things like, I don't like that you wear a certain thing, or I would prefer if you just shared your location with me all the time, right? Now, I know that these can be red flags, but can they be, I think you use the word amber flags, where it's not a case of this is a bad relationship, you need to stop it right now, run for the hills, but maybe it's something that they could communicate with them. This is not okay in a relationship. You don't have the right to tell me what I wear or what I do, and give them the opportunity to fix that. So what's the difference between those amber flags, those causes for concern, and like straight up red flags?
Yeah. That's a really interesting question. I suppose there's a couple of things to ways to kind of approach it. So it's not that, you know, we take amber flags less seriously. When we're talking about abuse, so abuse, it's a pattern, okay? So it's normal to have disagreements, for, you know, your partner to say things that maybe hurt you, or to have disagreements. That's very normal, okay? But if it forms a pattern and you're afraid to bring it up with your partner, you're afraid of how they'll react, you feel like you're walking on eggshells, you feel like they might take it out on you, then that's where the line has been crossed. That's where the red flag is, that there's control there, that there's an imbalance of power. Okay. And I suppose with the thing, that's the thing about these kind of amber flags in young relationships. Unfortunately, they have now become so normalized that people see them as amber flags and they don't take them seriously. And that's how it gets, it becomes very easy for them to turn into red flags. You know, we have to take these things seriously, because abuse doesn't happen, you know, straight away. Like somebody becomes very controlling straight away and, you know, they're manipulating you and gaslighting you, all this kind of stuff. It happens very subtly over time with little things that are said and done. And the more that they become acceptable, the easier it is for abuse to fly under the radar. And also, I suppose we have to be careful with this thinking of, well, you know, maybe they didn't know. Maybe they don't know, you know, that what they're doing is not okay. You know, they just care about me. This thinking, it puts the blame on the person who it's happening to. So it says, well, they just care about you and they just want to know where you are. And they maybe don't know that that's controlling. Even though if they don't know it, it still doesn't make that behavior okay, and it doesn't excuse it. And I suppose a lot of the time there's a feeling in young relationships of, I can fix them, I can change them, you know, which is also not okay. That it's not okay to push that responsibility on a young person who's maybe in their first relationship and they just want to experience love and care like we all do. And to put that on them, you know, not to say that as parents, you know, when you say these things that you're putting that on, that responsibility on them. I'm more saying that we just have to be careful about excusing behaviors, because the more that they're excused, the more normalized they become. And then just say it gets to a situation where this is happening over and over again, and somebody does feel controlled, that they think, well, I can't talk to mom now about it because she thinks, well, maybe it's not as serious as it actually is. And I think it's not that I want to name every single behavior as controlling and manipulative and abusive, you know what I mean? But I suppose as parents, there is a responsibility there to maybe be the voice of reason for a young person that they might not see.
Mary, can I ask you this though? I think certainly when it comes to privacy issues and when you're talking to teenage girls, there's a lot of like, you don't understand. It's like, well, I was once a teenager. What are some of the starting point conversations to have with our girls in particular about going, look, you know, I understand you're going to have these feelings. I understand that you're going to approach things a certain way. Just will you always bear X, Y, and Z in mind when you're getting into a relationship, that these are things that you know, you should be aware of, but also things that will help you enjoy it more.
Yeah. I mean, there's a million things that you could say, but I suppose some of the work that Tammy and the Shona Project is doing is absolutely key as a preventer of this stuff, you know, empowering young women to know their worth, to know what their boundaries are, to know what they're comfortable with, to know what's important to them, to know what their goals are, is huge, because it gives them a world outside of the relationship. Like, even if you are, you know, hoping to go off to college and work and do all this stuff, and you're in a relationship, that still can feel like your whole world. But I suppose teaching girls early on that they are more than that is so important. But then, you know, people want to be in a relationship. That's just part of our society. It's very normal. And we want people to have healthy and happy relationships. So I suppose one of the biggest things is for them to keep a life outside the relationship, you know, for them to remember that, okay, while it's very exciting at the start, you might want to spend all your time together, it's really important to maintain your friendships, you know, do things outside the relationship, keep up your hobbies, the sports, whatever it is they're doing. You know, if they have goals and aspirations, to keep those prioritized, you know. And if you're with somebody who actually really cares about you and who is your champion and your cheerleader, they will want you to do those things. So that's one of the key indicators of a healthy relationship, is somebody who doesn't try and change you, who doesn't try and control what you're doing. You know, they want you to do the things that you want to do. They want you to spend time with friends. They want you to continue your hobbies. They want you to strive to be, you know, you.
Amazing. Do you think as well, Mary, that one of the really important things to keep saying to our kids when they start into a relationship is checking in frequently and kind of saying, is it still making you happy?
Yeah, absolutely. Communication is so important, you know, communication with their partners themselves. And like, that will be a key tell for them. Like, if they feel able to communicate with them, like healthy and open communication and respectful and equal communication is the absolute bedrock of a healthy relationship, and not just intimate relationships, you know. So between a parent and a child, for them to know that you are there and you will like listen to them in a non-judgmental way, because there could be things that they're bringing up that, you know, could maybe set off some red flags in your head, or, you know, things you want to say, well, you can't do that. But I suppose for them to know that you are a safe space will be absolutely key, especially if it does go in a way where there is maybe where it becomes unhealthy or controlling. But even if it's healthy, it's so good to still maintain that communication.
Tammy, do you mind if I ask something else off the back of that as well? Just at what stage, if you say your child, daughter is in a relationship that you're really, really concerned about, would you ever advocate, or is it an individualized thing that a parent could reach to someone else in that peer group and go, can I get your take on this?
I mean, yeah, absolutely. If it's someone they trust, I think when you're in an abusive relationship, one of the things that people will feel very commonly is, first of all, that they won't be believed. And second of all, that people are out there talking about them and judging them for what's happening. So they feel like it's their fault and that people are going to see that it's their fault that this is happening. But if it's someone that they trust and you're doing it for their own good, I think it's okay as a parent to get that perspective. But I suppose, you know, as parents, even I'm just conscious that, you know, there will be a lot of parents listening who maybe are in an abusive situation themselves. You know, 1 in 4 women in Ireland in their lifetime will experience domestic abuse. So there could be a lot of women listening right now who are going through this and who don't know what, you know, control, abuse, manipulation, what it is on paper. They might actually be feeling it, but they mightn't recognize it themselves. So I suppose, you know, this can be a tricky thing to navigate for yourself, for your child, whatever the relationship is. So, you know, the Women's Aid services like the Helpline and our chat service, they're not just for somebody who's, you know, deep in it, who's trying to escape, you know, an abusive partner, leave the home, things like that. If you're worried about someone in your life and you have any questions around it, that those services are there for you as well. Like the Helpline team, they're fully accredited. They understand how complex this is. They understand that it can be also distressing and worrying, you know, especially if it's your child, or if it's in your own family. So they are there to listen. You know, it's not that they'll give you a million solutions and tell you, you must do this and you must tell them to leave that person. It's a listening service. So I suppose don't feel like, you know, as parents, you have to go through this on your own. There are supports out there that are there for the taking, you know, and they're completely free and confidential.
Can you just then take us through, because you do such amazing work, and I would encourage everybody to check out your Instagram and your content, because it's just so relatable and easy to understand and you make it so simple. But there's a number of kind of red flags that you have identified as these are things that are not okay in a relationship. And I love how you talk about them. So bring me through the list you have. What are things that we need to look out for?
Yeah. So some of the really common ones would be is called love bombing. So when you start seeing someone and they're bombarding you with, you know, love and attention, affection, wanting to spend all your time together, constant texts, all that kind of stuff. So as a parent, you might see that they're on their phone all the time, more than usual. I mean, they're always on their phones, but you know, that they're very much, they can't leave it down, or they feel like they have to reply, you know, straight away. Maybe they're spending all their time together, or you're noticing that they're spending less time with their friends. Another one is also, you know, maybe changing what they wear. So if their partner tells them, you know, oh, you're not to wear that, why are you wearing that? Whose attention are you trying to get? You know, you shouldn't be wearing things like that. And then maybe they change how they would normally dress. So that's one that you can spot as a parent. Another one is, I suppose, around, you know, doing things sexually that they're not ready for. Like if there is that communication there that they are coming to you with that, that is a big one, you know, being pressured or guilted into doing things that they're not ready for. you know, isolation. So complaining about when you spend time with friends or doing things like hobbies or maybe planning to go off to college, those kind of things. Also, on the online abuse side of it is also really common. So this can be a tricky one, I suppose, to spot as a parent. But if it is something that they come to you, maybe around, you know, the sharing of intimate images. So if a partner shares or even threatens to share an intimate image of someone without their consent, that's now a crime in Ireland. So, you know, if that does happen to someone, I would hope that they would, you know, come to their parent or a trusted adult. And we have a whole page on the 2&2 website all about that, like what to do, how to report it, how to try and get the photos taken down, that kind of stuff. But I suppose really it's around pressure, their behavior changing, you know, maybe they're becoming a bit more withdrawn or anxious or on edge. You will see maybe you know, their appearance changing, their priorities changing, things like that. But I mean, there are so many red flags. But we have, I suppose, kind of the 10 really common ones on the website. And I think actually the page that might be most helpful for parents is our Help a Friend page. It's focused on friends, but really the way the conversation is framed will be helpful to parents because it says like how to open a conversation, you know, the things to say, the things not to say, how to actively listen, that kind of stuff, because this can be a daunting thing, you know, not knowing how to approach it and the fear of them, you know, shutting down, being like, I don't want to talk to you about this. This has nothing to do with you. You're embarrassing me. You know, the regular things that kids do. So I think that's a really good place to start.
Mary, just say a few of those for us now.
Oh, yeah. Well, I suppose just, you know, checking in on them, reminding them that you're there for them if they need you. Saying things like, you know, if you ever need to chat about anything, I'm here and I won't, you know, tell you what to do. I'll just listen. That can be absolutely massive because they mightn't do it until they really, really need to, you know. Also, I suppose not being judgmental. So if they do tell you something, not trying to make excuses for what their partner has done or playing it down. Really, the key is just giving them a space to openly speak about this, because when you're in an abusive relationship, you will constantly be robbed of your voice. You will be told that, you know, your opinion doesn't matter, that what's happening is your fault, that what's happening isn't happening, being gaslit, you know, being told that it's being done to you because they love and they care about you. And basically, yeah, it's just creating a space where they don't feel judged and that they will be listened to openly. It's just to give them that space to kind of air out what's happening, because they mightn't have told anyone about it. So like of that 1 in 5 young women who had experienced abuse, 1 in 3 never told anyone about the abuse. You know, that's not just coming to women's aid. That's not telling anyone at all. So that's friends, family, you know. So really just having a space to listen and to get it like out of your head can be so helpful to process it.
One of the things that I think works really well is on lots of conversations that I have with young people is, if I was your friend, or if your friend came to you with and was experiencing, and this comes down to, you know, self-talk, it comes down to, you know, should I wear this, or like all that confidence piece and how we think more positively and more compassionately about our friends than we do ourselves. So like in lots of situations like that, I just think it works really well to say, if your friend came to you and told you that she was experiencing what you're experiencing, how would you feel? Like, what advice would you give her? And then that might help them to kind of just remove themselves from the situation a little bit and think of it in a different way.
Absolutely. And actually, the Survivor Stories page on our website is one of the most popular pages because it has direct experiences from girls, young girls who have gone through this. And I think it's so popular because it can be hard to see the wood for the trees when you're in it or recognize your own relationship as abusive. No one wants to name oh, I'm in an abusive relationship. That feels like a huge word. But to look at someone else's experience, it can help you reflect on your own. And there might be things that they spot, you know. But I think, yeah, framing it as if it was done to someone else, you know, we would see that as awful. But again, you know, that comes down to the empowerment piece, because it's about what people feel like they deserve, or what they feel like they're, you know, if they are worth a healthy relationship or to be treated well. And that's, again, why the work that Shona does is so important, because, you know, girls have to feel empowered to have these types of relationships. The thing is when you're in an abusive relationship, an abuser will take advantage. They most commonly take advantage of people who are kind and caring, who are maybe particularly vulnerable or shy. They see them and they will focus in on that, and they try to become that person's whole world. And it happens so easily. So the more work we do around, you know, empowering our girls and telling them that they are worth, you know, their voice is important and that their life is important, can be huge.
Yeah,
huge. Will you give out your points of contact, Mary, actually, because I know you've mentioned those separate pages that people should definitely consider visiting.
Yeah, so the Women's Aid 24-hour national free phone helpline is 1800 341 900. It's completely free and confidential. It's also available in over 200 languages if English isn't your first language. We also have a deaf and interpretation service. And we also have our chat support service at tointoyou.ie. So it's tointoyou.ie.
Excellent.
Brilliant. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks so many. Alison, these conversations are so important, aren't they? And like, she just makes so much sense. And I think for me, the thing that keeps coming back to is just raising girls with a really strong sense of their self and their value. Because like, whether it comes to friendships, you know, we talked about bullying previously, we've talked about friendships, we've talked about all of that stuff. Knowing their own self-worth really is the most important thing you can do in terms of teaching them what they'll accept from other people and from relationships.
And it's a theme that's come up a lot, actually.
Yeah, I think we'll come back to this time and time again, this whole relationships thing. I think it's a really important conversation. So that's it for today's podcast. Anybody wants to get in contact, we've had loads of great emails and suggestions for themes that we're going to follow up in the next couple of weeks. But please get in touch. Podcast at shona.ie. And Alison, I'll see you next week.
Thank you.